Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in again each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all of these radio files in MP3 files that you can download and listen to. We also have a TV program that's a 30-minute program, and all of those programs are on our website under the tab Searching the Scriptures. There's a variety of topics and subjects that are in alphabetical order. There are 30-minute segments, so if you have a topic or a subject that you would like to listen to some information about, please give it a look. We also encourage you to come to our worship services. You'll be given the meeting times at the end of this broadcast, and we cordially invite you to any of our periods of Bible study or worship services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you come, study the Word of God with us, and understand the need for God in your life and have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. For the last few weeks, we've been looking at our series on sin, on sins of the heart. We want to continue looking at sins of the heart this morning. Let us consider some sins of the heart. We know that the Bible condemns such things as stealing, cheating, adultery, homosexuality, drunkenness, and murder. These sins, too, come from man's heart. Yet there are other sins which are often overlooked because they are not seen. But they are also damaging to our souls if we commit them because they will separate us from God. First of all, we sin when we do not forgive others. When we will not forgive those who sin against us, we are guilty of sin. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, how serious is this? In Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 14, Jesus said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And so, we must be forgiving. In the Beatitudes, in Matthew chapter 5, and verse number 7, it said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." We are to be forgiving people. We must forgive others since we have also been forgiven, as we're reminded of in Colossians 3 and verse 13. Our forgiveness must be unlimited and be expressed and given to any that will repent, as we have teaching of in 17, verse 3 through 5. And we must be like God, and we must remember those sins no more, Hebrews 8, verse 12. That's where it gets difficult. We might want to forgive, but we might want to keep that in our memory, or maybe write it down in a little black book and give this person time to redeem himself and that we could trust him again. No, that's not real forgiveness. That's not how God forgives us, and we can't forgive men that way either. Harboring bitterness will cause us to lose our souls, dear friend. "I'm sorry" must be accepted if the repentance is genuine. Many people will lose their soul because they cannot bring themselves to forgive somebody for something they did or something they said. That's a sin. That's a sin that will cost you your soul. And it's from your heart. You have bitterness. You have malice. You have a grudge. You've got to get over that. And you've got to repent of it or you're going to lose your soul. Many people sin by being envious of others. According to Webster, envy is chagrin or discontent at the excellence or good fortune of another person, resentful, begrudging. Envy is the daughter of pride, the author of murder and revenge, the begetter of secret sedition, the perpetrator and tormentor of virtue. Envy is a filthy slime of the soul, a venom, a poison, a quicksilver which consumes the flesh and dries up the bone and the marrow. It is earthly, sensuous, and is devilish, according to James chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Envy has a terrible effect on the sinner, according to Proverbs 14, verse 30. Notice the sins associated and listed with the sins of envy. We read this a couple weeks ago when we looked in Romans chapter 1 of a mind that was destitute of God, that failed to retain God in their knowledge. Look at this list. It is a very ugly list, filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evilness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undeserving, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, and those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And so we need to be careful that we do not become guilty of the sin of envy. Envy has led people to murder. In 1 John 3, verse 12, be not as Cain, who was the wicked one who murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's were righteous. He was envious that God accepted his sacrifice but rejected his own, and it led him to kill his brother. Envy caused a brother to be sold into slavery. In Genesis 37, verse 11, Joseph's brother sold him into slavery because they envied him, because his father favored him. Envy caused King Saul to seek David's life. Read 1 Samuel chapter 18. He envied because the people appreciated David and they were very much in regard that David was very much considered a faithful servant of Saul, and he was really held in high esteem by the people, and that caused Saul to envy him. Envy caused men to crucify our Lord. Pilate knew that they delivered him out of envy. In Matthew 27:18, some envy the ability of others in the church. Preachers can envy other preachers. It will bring one spiritual ruin. The cure is love. The cure is love. Love is the cure for all things. In John chapter 13, prior to his arrest, and talking the last time with his disciples before he would be led to the cross, he gave them a commandment. And remember, verse 34 says, and a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Love is the cure to envy. Envy is a sin, and it's a sin that will keep you out of heaven. And so we need to, you can't see envy. You can't see a heart that's unwilling to forgive, but both of those things are sin, and they are generated and come from men's heart. The sin of ingratitude. Some are not grateful for what they have. It is God's will that we be thankful people. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20. The scripture says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to be continually thankful to God for the things that he blesses us with in our life. We should be thankful for the blessings that we receive in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. What are some of these blessings? Number 1 is remission of sin, Acts 2:38. A place prepared in heaven, in John 14, 1 through 3. Peace that passes all understanding, Philippians 4, verse 7. Joy unspeakable, 1 Peter 1, verse 8. Divine love that never fails us, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Loyal friends, Proverbs 18, verse 24. Loving brethren, 1 John chapter 2, 9 through 11. A crown of life that we will receive if we remain faithful, 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. A Savior that supplies all our needs, Philippians 4, 13 through 19. And real treasure that's laid up for heaven that no one can steal or it will not corrode, Matthew 6, 19 through 21. We need to be grateful people. Let me ask you something, ladies and gentlemen. When is the last time you prayed and just thanked God for the things of your life? Didn't ask for anything, didn't tell him what you wanted, just thanked him for your family, for your children, for your job, for your health, for the things, good things in your life. When is the last time you just thanked God without asking him for something? If you can't remember, then it's been a long time, hasn't it? Another sin of the heart that will cause you to lose your soul is the sin of worry. Sin of worry comes from the heart. Jesus commanded us that we should not be anxious in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. We worry over many things that we cannot control. This shows a lack of faith and a lack of trust in God. Can you saw sawdust? Can you put toothpaste back in the tube? No. Past deeds cannot be undone. We have to live with them, learn from them, and go and do better. You're going to die. Don't worry about it. It's going to be as part of your life. Hebrews 9, verse 27. Worrying is a sin. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but make your requests known unto God. We must learn to rely upon God. Cast your care upon me, for I care for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. It's a waste of time. Worry is a waste of time and energy. Ephesians 5, 16. Hurts our mental and physical health, according to 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 20. It robs us of the joy that we have in our lives. Philippians 4, 4. Can't have joy if you worry. We need to trust him. We need to believe in him. We need to put him first. Matthew 6, 33, it says, if we seek him first and the kingdom, then everything we need will be added unto us. We need to not worry. Many times worry shows a lack of faith and trust in God. And it demonstrates that we don't have our priorities right. Another sin of the heart that you've got to be careful of is hatred. It is also listed in the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. We cannot hate our brother and still love God. That's impossible. Please read 1 John chapter 2, 9 through 11, chapter 3, 15 and 16, and chapter 4, 20 through 21. We cannot hate our brother and claim we love God. It just does not equate. The heart has the ability to love. It has the ability to hate. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it gives us the recipe for a heart that is filled with love. Beginning in verse 4, it says, love suffers long, isn't kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. You see, love will cause hatred to be driven out. Hatred will cause you to lose your happiness in life and your soul in eternity. You cannot hate anyone. You can hate what they do. You can hate the sin they commit, but you cannot hate them. And so these sins of the heart, we must be careful of. The sin of ingratitude, the sin of worry, of hatred, of not being forgiving. All those things are generated from the heart, and if you commit them, they will cause you to lose your soul. Cleanse thou me from my secret faults, Psalms 19, verse 12. We could talk about other sins of the hearts, discontent, pride, arrogance, doubt, disbelief, distrust, fear, impatience, prejudice, discouragement, and frustration. The list could go on. Jesus Christ is the answer to cleanse the heart, 1 John 1, 7 through 9. Let us renew our inward man daily. The question is quite simple. Are you willing to accept the terms and conditions of your heart? And if your heart is in the right place, then your actions will be right. Dear listener, where's your heart at? And what kind of actions are you producing in your life? If they're evil, if they're ungodly, the problem is not the action. The problem is your heart. Thank you for listening.